Welcome to episode 165 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live February 14, 2020. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss the topic or recent news and how it relates to you. This week, bots are the topic of the week as we talk about the newest member of the Power Platform, Power Virtual Agent, and some of the details around pricing, uses, and considerations if you think you want to deploy it.
Welcome back to the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast.
At the top of the hour,
where we talk about all things
Power Automate.
Try again.
Can I borrow $1,000?
$1,000? Sure. Let me just whip out my checkbook here a minute.
Excellent.
I mean, my credit card. Who uses checkbooks anymore?
We'll call it a business expense.
That works. What's going to be my business expense for $1,000 that apparently you're getting for me? Is that why I'm giving you $1,000?
I'm going to test a bot for you, and the price of entry is high.
The price of entry is high to test a bot. So I don't even know what I was going to say next. But if you are going to test a bot for me, considering you have to pay for test sessions, the price of entry is very high.
Well, a session's a session is a session.
A session is a session is a session because it's still using back-end compute.
Well, somebody's got to pay for all that Azure consumption.
Oh, my. Are we going to rant again? You know what? This is going to probably ruin our streak, though. Although I think we were actually more like 3 for 5 because there were some rants I thought about that didn't get reversed.
You can't go back and edit time. It's
I can't go back and edit time. But we are 3 for 3. So before we dive into Power Virtual Agents bots, we should probably let people know if they missed the news that our ranty episode a week or two ago, where Microsoft was installing the Bing malware toolbar into Chrome and Firefox as part of Office, we got reversed. Can we take credit for that? Am I allowed to do that? Say that we got it reversed?
Absolutely.
So that did get reversed. So that is, it sounds like it's going to be opt out by default, and then they are going to work to roll out controls where you can choose whether to roll it out to managed devices or unmanaged devices. And instead of just doing the broad sweeping, hey, we're hijacking everybody's search on all their devices as soon as they sign into Office 365, we are no longer doing that. People can change their search engines. They can control which devices it's going to roll out to. And because of all that, it's not coming in build 2002 anymore.
Yes. Yeah.
So that has been reversed,
well,
which is a good thing.
You know, so you think through this, and there was this very tight, compressed timeline when they made this announcement, and they said to get outside of having basically your browser hijacked with our extension and a little bit of our Bing malware, then you're going to have to update things like your GPOs, which require loading the latest ADMX templates. What if it was all a ploy to get people to actually deploy the latest ADMX templates?
Oh, interesting. Are we going to turn into a conspiracy theory podcast?
No. But honestly, if you were preparing for this change and you hadn't updated your ADMX templates for Office 365 Pro Plus in a while, you are on the latest and greatest now, and you can probably do some very new fun things that you weren't able to do in the past.
That is true. So do you think they had... Oh, now you got me going on conspiracy theories before we actually get into today's topic. So my other thought is, do you think they actually had an inkling this was going to be the reaction? And do you think they would actually do it, trying to see if they could get away with it, kind of knowing in the back of their heads, hey, we're going to back this out? Because that was a really quick decision to reverse it too. I mean, it was like we announced it this week and, oh, we're changing everything next week. I mean, I guess they've done that with some other things, the IURs for partners. And what was the other one that got reversed that we ranted about?
Oh, I can't even remember.
I had it when I came up with the 3 for 3. Oh, it was self-service billing for Power Platform stuff. Go put in your own credit card and buy it all for yourself within your own tenant or within your company's tenant.
Yeah. You know, some of those other ones, they were understandable. This one was just a, man, have you gone out and talked to your customers, or how far away from customers are product managers when they make a decision like that? Or are product managers stepping in and saying, this is a bad idea and someone else is potentially overriding them. I just don't know where you come from where you look at quote unquote the real world. I don't think there is anybody that you would run into who's managing an organization who's saying the way you've rolled this, you intend to roll this out is a good idea. And those are the real head scratchers where you go like, okay, I can see how you might think so and how it would work internally at Microsoft. Like, yeah, you're a big organization. You know, you have 155,000 employees and lots of devices and services and all the things. And that's great. But there's a lot of other organizations out there, and not all of us can be like Microsoft.
Yeah. I don't know. I would love to see.
I very much just kind of question that decision, but you're right, it'd be fun to be a fly on the wall and see how they got there.
Right. Like, what was that process of going through, and at what point in time did they actually decide they were going to reverse it? Did they kind of decide before they announced it? But they got so much bad PR out of that. I can't imagine them releasing that with the intention of rolling it back or even having an inkling they were going to roll it back. I don't know.
Yeah. You'd have to figure out who actually made the decision, right? Like, who's the driver for it?
Yeah.
I think interesting conversations were probably had.
I am sure there were a lot of interesting conversations.
As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro.
So that is done. Said, done, over. On to Power Virtual Agents.
Yes.
You sent me a Twitter string which prompted us to decide, hey, why not talk about this? So before we dive into all the details, like, this Twitter string made me think. It all started with somebody said, wowzy, $1,000 a month. Thus, Scott wants me to give him $1,000 so he can go buy Power Virtual Agents. It's not included in Office 365. It is a standalone add-on. And then there was a little bit of back and forth in there because there were some people that said, like, one response is, no customer mind's ever going to buy this. They're not going to pay that kind of money for this Power Virtual Agent. And then there were some other people that chimed in that said, hey, this is great. I have clients that are chomping at the bit that want to use this. If you compare this to purchasing or hiring a dev to build some of the bot stuff, this actually isn't that bad of a deal. So it seemed like it actually had a little bit of a polar opposite effect. And it may be, you know how when everybody talked about the Apple monitor, and I see more and more about it, and this might be a stretch, is some people, it is just not for them. And other people are like, let's face it, some companies, $1,000 a month is just put it on a credit card, swipe it. I'm not even going to think about it because it's not enough money to think about.
Yeah, that's just, you keep lighting matches and just watching them burn, and then, ooh, my match is out. Let's just light another one.
Exactly. So I think with this, yes, $1,000 a month sounds high to some people, but to other people, it's pocket change. So I think there are definitely two different camps in this. So we don't want to rant too much on the price of it, because I think, again, for some people, it might make sense.
I think it just falls into the Power Platform in general being really weird these days, with parts of it potentially being included in Office 365, other parts not. You know, we talked a little bit about Power Platform and how it relates to Dynamics 365 and some of the other things going on there, and how that potentially contributes to wonkiness in licensing along the way. And I think it's like most things, like, you got to look at the feature, and if you want it, that's the cost and it is what it is. So for something like this, if you want to run a no code / light code Azure bot service and be able to kind of package it up within this UI, and you're going to run it for a year and you can live with the limitations and the number of sessions and things like that within it, then $12,000 might be okay. Or you look back and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to run it for a year. Maybe I want to invest that $12,000 in development time. Like, is there another solution that works for me? And I think that's where everybody starts to run into issues with these things, is they look at maybe like a one-time cost and not being able to rationalize it or push it out over time and kind of figure out what that real ROI and runway on it's going to be.
Right. So I think some of the benefits, kind of stepping back, an overview of what is this Power Virtual Agent thing, and we've alluded to it a little bit, is that it is a bot service. And if you go look at the Power Platform website, and I think we talked about this in an episode or two ago when we talked about Power Platform in the PL900, was that technically Power Virtual Agent is a fourth component now to the Power Platform. And it is that chatbot. Microsoft labels it as a no-code chatbot. And I have built it. You can go stand up trials and play around with it. And it really was easy to build a very basic bot that I could go in and ask questions to, and it would respond, and I could test it out. I haven't gotten beyond just doing like basic asking it what store is closest to you, and then it asks what city you're located in, and then it spits out the address of a store. But it is very much tied hand in hand, which makes us all goofy a little bit, to the Common Data Service or to CDS. So if you're going to build this, it is tied 100% to the CDS entities. So as you're going through building out these bots and this bot service, you absolutely have to have CDS as a part of it and have all the information that you want to leverage in your bot in CDS. But from there, it really is like, draw out a Visio diagram of if this is asked, answer this way. And then if this is asked, like guiding people down through a hierarchical tree of questions and answers without having to understand or do any of that natural language interpretation, trying to figure out what people are asking. A lot of that developer-y stuff that goes into would go into the back end of building a bot in terms of being able to actually understand and process what people are asking or trying to, what answer they're trying to get with the bot. Now it's you just, again, without any code, without really having to understand any of that, filling information, drawing lines, dropping in boxes to create this chat bot interface.
Yeah. Sums it up pretty well. I mean, that is what you're doing. You're driving Azure bot service through a different graphical interface. So think about maybe having a question and driving conditions out of that. So having some type of like operator, maybe like think if then, if this, then that for chat conversations, right? You know, I want to come in and ask Ben a question, and based on my response to Ben, if my response is yes, I'm going to go down this path. If my response is no, I'm going to go down this path, kind of thing. So it is really, it's very cool for that kind of thing. It goes a little bit beyond, I think, some of the other like low code solutions. Maybe if you ever played like Q&A Maker or something like that, it does go above and beyond that, just with some of the conditional logic that's built into it right out of the gate.
Yep, absolutely. And part of Microsoft's angle here is if you go read their documentation, and I can see where they're coming from, and this is maybe where I actually do understand the price a little bit, is they market this as, again, the no code and trying to eliminate that gap between maybe your subject matter expert. It's your sales team. It's your customer service team. It's those people that are interacting with conversations on a day-to-day basis. They're going to know what types of questions they get, whether it's coming in via email or on Twitter, or maybe it's the help desk, because this could also be geared towards even internal employees. But those people that are fielding the questions, it gives them the ability to build a bot that they can publish to these various platforms, various places, and develop that whole logic of guiding people through a conversation that if you were going to use like the Azure Bot Service or something like that, you typically have to start involving a dev, involving your IT team. You have to get a lot more people in place. And you and I have probably both been in that position before where you're working between subject matter experts and devs, and then you get project managers involved. And it's a huge project to build out a bot where I won't say this is just click, 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 stand it up, but I think you can shorten that time from, hey, we want a bot, to here's a bot that we can deliver. That shortens, but it also gives those people that are maybe on the front lines the ability to tweak it and customize it a lot easier without having to go back and redevelop a bunch of stuff on the back end.
So there's a whole kind of AI model behind this that can drive some things, you know, just by building on top of Azure services, like our friend Lewis, the Language Understanding Intelligence Service. You get access to natural language processing. So NLP is going to bring you things like understanding potentially common acronyms, slang, how witty or snarky do you want a bot to be? So you get all that out of the box. But I think one of the powerful things here over saying maybe slinging just a straight Azure bot and kind of going all up and coding the thing is you get this nice interface, and it's not just Q&A, it's Q&A with actions. Like, I think that's another thing for everybody to think about. If you're looking at something like this and you go, wow, like it is expensive or it's priced weird just to have somebody chat back and forth and do a quick question response, and there might be a better service for you. Because at that point, you're basically at something like maybe like an FAQ bot and not really something where you think like a bot that needs to do customer intake for you and then potentially drive to other automation, whether that's transferring to a live agent. You know, hey, I hit this part in the decision tree. I can't help that customer anymore and we need to get them out. So I think everybody's pretty familiar with that. You know, you run into maybe like an IVR workflow when you call into an 800 line and you just sit there and it says, please tell me a little bit about your problem. And you say, representative, help, 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 help. And you just keep screaming that until it says, okay, I can't help you. I'm going to transfer you to an agent.
I just hit zero until I get transferred. Zero, 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 zero. Yeah, and eventually, yeah.
Depends on how much you want to talk back to those things.
When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudIT.
So there are capabilities like that. I think one of the other interesting ones within this service, and it's kind of back to the licensing and entitlement thing, is the way flows are handled within here. So there's a capability when you use flows that are kicked off from a virtual agent, unlimited flow runs are included within that, which is kind of like nifty and goes against some of the other flow licensing that exists out there.
Right. I mean, you look at when you had quotas before, and if you're running out of quota, and kind of to your point, the bots have potential to kick off a lot of flows, because this is where a lot of the power of these bots come in, is like you said, customer intake or getting feedback. Like, it's not just that question and answer, but it's based on this answer. Now go trigger a flow that maybe updates information about this particular user in your common data service, which can then flow into CRM, or go let somebody know in Teams, or send an email, or make this change to an order that they've placed because their address is in CDS somewhere and they want to change their address. It's all that interaction and automation that you get that's a part of the whole Power Automate platform as a whole, that integrates into this bot really nicely and allows those SMEs, again, go trigger this workflow. Or I have an, to your point, I have an angry customer that's chatting with my bot and yelling at my bot, go transform right away or go raise some alert with a manager to send them an email. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do when you start tying in some of the flows Power Automate into this bot.
Yeah. Here's another one for you too. The virtual agents support authentication for users when they come in. So if you have to authenticate to an IDP, it is possible to do that as well. And so think like you have maybe an external or anonymous person who starts out chatting with your bot, but they're part of your organization and you know you are running up in Office 365. There's a built-in login action there or authentication action. So you can sign users in. And then in that case where you said, hey, maybe we go back and we touch an order or something like that, you can actually have context for who the user is, know their user ID, which is like maybe their email address or their UPN or what was the other piece of information you needed about them to correlate them back to an order and actually have this system just kind of reach out to that other line of business thing and make the change for you.
Yeah, and it's not either. I think a lot of times you think PowerBot and this is or Power Virtual Agent, and they do give you a lot of ways to surface this too. So it's not just I'm going to put this on my website or I'm going to put it in Teams. That's how do you want users to reach this bot and chat with it? And after you've built it out, you have several different places now you can publish it. You can publish this, like you would assume, to a custom website, to Microsoft Teams, but you can also use it to connect to different places that maybe you would think you normally chat with or customers would reach out to you. You can tie all of those into the Power Virtual Agent and publish that bot to all of those different locations. So when they come to you on Facebook and they start chatting with you in Messenger, they're actually interacting with this bot. It doesn't just have to be your custom website or one of those Office 365 services that they first start that conversation with you on.
I think it's super powerful when it comes to that. You've just got to be back to the whole...
You have to understand your requirements. Like, is this something you actually need or are there other solutions out there?
You have to understand not only your requirements, but also the limitations of this service and potentially be real world about that. Like, I don't think... So back to the licensing thing.
Yep.
Okay, so it's $1,000 US a month, might be £1,000 if you're in the UK, whatever it is. But it's basically $1,000 of something. So that gives you, like you said, CDS, and it actually gives you additional quotas in CDS that are unique to just turning on like the tenant level service. So you start to get some of that. But the way it works is you're basically paying for a fixed number of sessions with the bot. So a session is I started a chat all the way up to I ended the chat along the way. So it's not every interaction with the bot, like every time I type a question or every time the bot does something. It's when you start the virtual agent up and then once that virtual agent is done with an interaction, like the customer closes a chat, whatever. Okay, cool. Session is over. So you get 2,000 session runs per month for
200.
Oh, 200. That's even worse.
I thought it was 200 for 1,000.
No, it's 2,000 sessions per tenant per month with no rollover. So if you only use 1,000 sessions out of the 2,000, it doesn't mean that you get to carry 1,000 of those forward along the way.
Got it.
So
zeros matter. There's your lesson from there. Zeros matter. They do make a difference.
Like many things in life. Yes. Yeah, so numbers matter. Zeros matter. You know, where the decimal is, all those things. So anyway, you get this defined number of basically runs per month. So if you can live within that limitation and you go like, okay, you know, I'm good. I'm ready to go. Well, what happens if you go over 2,000 sessions? Well, then you need to buy more sessions and then it starts to get a little bit weird. I don't quote me on this one, but I believe it's something like $450 or $500 to buy another 1,000 sessions on top of that. So you're kind of like buying bigger blocks out along the way. So do your requirements thing. If you're going to walk into this service and really run it and adopt it and take it, do you actually know how many sessions you are going to instantiate with your one or more bots, because you could have a bunch of them within there. So across all the bots in your tenant.
Right, to that. Like you talked about, if you go over 2,000 sessions, if you're running up 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 sessions, your cost is going to be more. But if you do the math on that, then what, you're paying 2,000 sessions for $1,000, you're paying 50 cents a session. If you break it down like that, if you're going to use all 2,000 sessions, it's not bad. If it's someone like me, I actually have a little chat bot on my website. I literally get like one person a year that chats with it. At that point in time, I'm paying $12,000 for per session. It doesn't make any sense. So I think if you're going to hover right around those quotas that they put on there, if you break it down that way, it is actually affordable. If you're paying $1, $2 per session, 50 cents a session, to me, that makes sense. If you're, again, just having a couple chats and you're paying like 50, 100 bucks, 200 bucks a session because you just don't have that traffic, probably not a good choice. Yeah.
This may not be the droid that you're looking for.
Right. So I think it is. Like you said, probably one of the biggest drivers of this is going to be understand how many sessions you think you're going to have, or figure out some way, maybe even stand up a trial of this. I stood up a trial of mine. I think it was a 30-day trial. I think my 30-day trial, though, might still be going. So put a trial, put it on your website, see how many sessions you get in a month. If you only get 5 or 6 people, maybe you start with something cheaper until you get that activity where something like this makes a little more sense. I think there's just a lot of things that go into figuring out if you need a Power Virtual Agent before you just say $1,000 a month is crazy. My 2 cents.
Yeah, it's an interesting one out there, right? Clearly, somebody thought it was going to fill a gap and, you know, sit in a place. So now that it's out in the world, you can kind of play around with it and see if it's going to work for you. Outside of things like number of sessions you're going to run, do consider that every time you rebuild the bot and you test it, that's a session as well. So you do have to account for testing in there, right? If you're going to have you're building a new bot and you think, hey, maybe we're going to have like 100 iterations of this as we onboard to a new service and we get going with like product owners, things like that, or business owners to kind of affect that change and get it to where it needs to be. That is all going to count and be a thing for you. There are limitations to the length a session can last. The maximum length a session can last today is 60 minutes. If it goes over that, then it's basically shut down, right? It gets killed. And then a build session. So I started chatting and then I kind of went through the flow and I got to the end. You can only have a maximum of 100 conversational turns with the bot along the way. That's just a conversational turn would be an exchange between a user and the bot. Like a conversational turn wouldn't be a flow going out and say running and doing something on the side.
Got it. Yes. All things to think about. And again, this may not even be external facing. You could throw this up in a Teams bot internally for your help desk. And then those would still be sessions, chatting internally, internal users chatting with your bot.
Yeah, a session's a session is a session. Back to that.
Back to that. All right. And with that, we are done with our session for today.
Fiend. End session.
Wow. End the session. Click stop. No longer record. We be done.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Ben.
All right. You're welcome. We'll talk to you later, Scott.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.